The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome into a Friday the 13th edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It's Field and Matthew and Stefania hanging out with you today to preview all things for Week 15, which for many people is either the second week of their semifinal matchup or the only week of their one-week semifinal matchups. A lot at stake, and for those of you that are watching us right now on the live stream, you might notice that we are in uniform right now. It's a very cool thing.
We're not necessarily in uniform. We're all wearing t-shirts. We're all wearing t-shirts that say "Booyah."
We're all wearing the same thing.
Yeah.
It is a uniform attire for us today here on the podcast. It says "Booyah," and if you're familiar with that phrase, it's because you watch Stuart Scott on SportsCenter for many, many years. Many consider him, present company included, the greatest highlight reader ever and one of the fine people to ever be a part of the ESPN family. Stewart's memory and his legacy has lived on after he has passed away, and one of the ways is being an incredible advocate for cancer research. And the V Foundation and ESPN have long teamed up to try to help increase the efforts to one day find a cure for this horrific disease. And this shirt, the Booyah shirt, is available for anybody who might want to go and purchase one like the ones that Matthew, Stefania, myself, Daniel, and Keith behind the glass as well are wearing. You can head over to ESPN.threadless.com. And Matthew, you were talking about, I believe it was something else. What was it last week? You're saying, like, you know, sometimes you go and buy something and let's say you pay $20. Like, you know, a dollar goes to charity because everything else is manufacturing, et cetera. How about this? $25 of every t-shirt purchased at ESPN.threadless.com goes to the Stuart Scott Fund at the V Foundation, which helps fund research for minorities who are dealing with cancer. So,
sure.
A cause near and dear to the heart of many, certainly Stuart's family, his two daughters who continue to do a great job of serving as advocates on his behalf. And this would be a small way to support that cause and also look really cool doing it. Booyah is an awesome, iconic phrase.
Absolutely. Like, it's a comfy shirt. It's a good looking shirt. Secret Squirrel handed me mine and he said, "You don't have to wear it." And I said, "Oh, I'm wearing it. Because that way you're not going to want it back. That's the way I get to keep it."
Uh-huh.
So that's, you know, that's what's going on in the old noggin right here. Don't get anything by me. I'm always two chess moves ahead, Field Yates. You understand what I'm saying?
That's
exactly right.
That's what everyone always says about
you. Yeah, 100%. So anyway, you know, listen, Stuart Scott and one of the very first SportsCenter hits I ever got to do was with Stu. And I've told this story before, but I'll tell it very quickly because I think it's appropriate here. So I've just gotten to SportsCenter, right? I've just gotten to ESPN. And I was hired to do digital stuff. And they're like, "We don't know if you'll ever get on TV," but like it was like August or something. And they were like, "Oh, we'll do one fantasy football hit." This is like 2007. And so, and they tell you, "Oh, it'll be Stuart Scott." And so it's not like you meet somebody before the show or anything like that. Like it's just sort of like, you know, your hits at whatever, 6:32 or whatever it is. So I'm sort of standing in the back. Like I have never met Stuart Scott and it's fantasy football, which still is struggling, but it's certainly come a long way than it was in 2007 where people weren't sure if it should be on TV or not. And so Stuart Scott doesn't know me at all. And we haven't actually met, but it comes time to meet. And this is a little bit inside baseball, but Field, you can especially speak to this as somebody who has done some hosting for our network. But there's different ways to introduce somebody. And so Stu could have just said, like, "All right, here's time for fantasy football." But instead, he gives it the hard sell. Understand, the ESPN audience has no idea who I am. They know who Stuart Scott is. They love Stuart Scott. So if Stuart Scott says, "I'm somebody to pay attention to," they'll pay attention to. So I come on, it's time for me, and Stuart Scott gives it the hardest sell ever. He's like, "All right, time now. We're going to do some fantasy football. Start sit with my man, Matthew Berry." You know what I mean? Like, made it sound like we're best friends. And, like, you got to pay attention to this guy because he's about ready to drop some knowledge that you need to know. And, like, I will just say this without naming any names. That is not the reception I got from every SportsCenter host or every host at this company. But I got from Stuart, and as brilliant a anchor as he is, he was a better person. And I found that out much later. And, you know, he was – there's a reason why that when he unfortunately passed away, you heard story upon story upon story about Stuart Scott, and not just about his brilliance on air, but about the kind of person he was. And so I am thrilled to do my small part to honor his legacy.
Do your best. If you'd like to make a contribution, head on over to ESPN.threadless.com to support a worthwhile cause.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
So it's week 15, so it's hard to say, like, you know, when one game is played, here's a takeaway that matters for the rest of the season. But congratulations to all of you that started Lamar Jackson. You have officially advanced to the finals of your fantasy football league. Ridiculous last night.
And my condolences to everyone that had to face Lamar Jackson.
I want to see somebody, especially in a one-week semifinal, because in a two-week semifinal, you have a little bit of a buffer because you may have performed well last week. And Jackson was fine last week, but he wasn't what he did last night. But somebody who plays in a one-week semifinal, send me your come-from-behind victory on Tuesday morning, because somebody will overcome the incredible night from Lamar Jackson last night.
It had better not be you, Thirsty Kyle.
You guys are playing each other.
And oh, my God. I'm calling
semifinal
field. Oh, yeah.
In the 14-team Bristol Benchwarmers League that Keith runs and a bunch of us around here play in. And I play Thirsty Kyle in the semifinals, one of the semifinals, and I have Lamar Jackson in that league. So,
it's going to be a fun Tuesday.
If I lose to you after putting up whatever it was that he put up last night, in our league scoring,
there'll be a lot of money in the swear jar that day.
Yes.
37.1 fantasy points for Lamar Jackson last night, just 31.2 points away from tying Patrick Mahomes for the greatest quarterback fantasy season of all time, which would also be the greatest in terms of raw points season ever in fantasy football. He might do it by next week. And you know what? He might need to do it by next week because there is a chance. This is the one thing that I would say. The one takeaway is that if you do advance this weekend, and again, you have a very good buffer, you have a very good head start right now with Lamar Jackson. If the Ravens win next weekend, or if the Patriots lose at some point this weekend or next, and they play next Saturday, remember.
Right.
That you would, the Ravens would have clinched the number one seed in the AFC. So somebody to keep in mind there is, or not top two seed. You know what? The Chiefs have to lose a game as well. But my point is this. There is a very plausible scenario where Lamar Jackson is not needed in week 17. So maybe be mindful if you play all the way into week 17 of potential
quarterback options. My guy RG3, baby. RG3. Week 17 superstar.
So value to someone like Ryan Tannehill or other quarterbacks that have reasonable matchups, right? Yes, Dave.
I saw this on Twitter, and I just wanted to say it really quickly. Paul Hembakides, at Paul Hembo, who is a great researcher here at ESPN.
Yeah, Hembo does a great job.
He put this out. He said, there are two quarterbacks that have recorded three games with five passing touchdowns and zero interceptions. Below is the entire list. One is the GOAT, and two is Tom Brady in 2007. So it is just Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady that have done that. How incredible is that?
Yeah, it's been remarkable, and it's been incredibly efficient. Just 22 passing attempts last night. He's a well-oiled machine. I don't think we really need to belabor this much more because we have a ton to get to for today. But thank you to Lamar Jackson for those that started them in a semifinal.
The only other thing I just want to say, I'll just say this real quickly and then we could move on, is like, look, I talked up Lamar Jackson as a sleeper in August, and in my 10 list of 10, like I do my things of like things I'm paying attention to, storylines I'm buying, and one of my things was, you know, I'm buying the fact that the Ravens offense is going to open it up and everything like that. Okay, fine. Whatever. I had him as a sleeper. A lot of people had him as a sleeper. Our colleague Eric Carabell wrote an article on July 2nd, and I tweeted this out yesterday, but I just want to give a shout out to EK, because EK wrote an article on July 2nd saying, what was the headline? It was something
don't regret not having
Lamar Jackson. And basically it was an entire article on July 2nd saying, if you don't draft Lamar Jackson this year, you will regret it. And so, EK calling a shot before training camps, before anything, before a lot of the buzz had started about what the Ravens were going to do on offense, July 2nd. So just want to shout out our colleague, Eric Carabell. Just a great call. And also, obviously, does a great job over there on the Fantasy Focus Baseball podcast.
All right, Stefania, let's get to our Week 15 major injury concerns there, because there are quite a few of them going into, again, semifinals weekend for fantasy football playoffs. And we begin in Oakland with Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I think this is the last home game for Oakland. Yeah. You know, big deal, big game, fans of the Black Hole, and Josh Jacobs, who did not play last week because of shoulder issue, Question is, will he play? He's been limited in practice both days. But offensive coordinator Greg Olson said he, quote, looked great. And I would think that suggests that Josh Jacobs will play this week.
There's been a lot of reporting that suggests he is going to play on Sunday. That's good. Just quickly, if he does sit, Matthew, we saw last week, DeAndre Washington, the step-in running back for the Raiders.
And, I mean, I have Jacobs as a top eight play in this game. Like, going up against Jacksonville, who allows a touchdown on over 5% of carries, the second highest rate in the NFL. They allow league-high 5.5 yards per carry to opposing running backs this season. Jacksonville is the worst run defense in the NFL over the last 4 weeks. So, yes, if Josh Jacobs is active, don't get cute. You're starting Josh Jacobs, and you're going to enjoy it.
Stefania, everything is pointing towards Adam Thielen returning on Sunday, which is good. My question would be, let's say he does return. Is this one of those where you're nervous about what happened last time? Because the last time he came back from this, I believe, what, it's a quad or hammy?
A hamstring.
Hamstring injury. He left at halftime.
Yeah, he only played seven snaps.
Yeah,
when he
or maybe it was against the Chiefs. Yeah. It was even more of a, yeah. brief appearance. So where are we at now?
You know, so since that time when he left early, then we had all these indications he'd come back after the bye and he'd play in week 13. And there was a late decision for him not to play because he had a quote-unquote scare in practice. And, you know, it becomes a thing where his player becomes apprehensive of, like, can I really trust this thing? I think what's weird to me is that he's been listed as limited in practice, so I haven't really seen, like, the full participation. And yet the feeling is that he will play. So when you ask, like, will you be nervous? Sure, because it's the first game back after being gone for an exceptionally long time for a hamstring injury. I will say this, Courtney Cronin, of course, who covers the Vikings for us, said that he has looked more mobile in practice than he did back when they were originally talking about him coming back, moving around better, seems to have more confidence. So he's optimistic. The team's optimistic. I think he's definitely in a better place. And I actually like that when you think about an athlete's mentality, not as apprehensive that there's going to be a setback. Doesn't mean there can't be. We'll feel a lot better when he gets through this game. But I don't expect a limitation on him, for example, if he goes out and plays.
Okay. We all have him ranked inside our top 20 with the expectation he does play. Just a couple of notes here. Chargers are very good defensively in the secondary. They allow the third fewest wide receiver fantasy points per game this season. And I've got a bit of a hedge on Thielen just because of the fact that even if he plays, maybe he's playing, you know, a handful or a dozen less snaps than he normally would. But still, with all of us having inside the top 20, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a better option on your roster than Adam Thielen. James Conner.
I'm actually, as somebody who has Stephon Diggs in a playoff game and really needs Stephon Diggs, especially if Josh Jacobs is going to play because I have DeAndre Washington. So in our War Room League, actually, I have Stephon Diggs, and I really need Adam Thielen to play because the expectation is, you know, Mike Clay is feeling like that if Adam Thielen is active, Casey Hayward will shadow him. Mm. You know, and so obviously that if Thielen is out, he'll be on Diggs. And you certainly would prefer, if you have Diggs like I do, you certainly prefer him to avoid Casey Hayward.
So some good news, less good news in Pittsburgh, Stefania. James,
I think I was just going to say, sorry, to just finish up that real quick. I feel like Thielen is a shaky wide receiver too. I've ranked him at 19. You guys are a little bit more optimistic than I am, but I feel like you're still starting him, but certainly shaky, right?
Yeah. I have 15. So, yep. James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster, Stefania, some good news and then some less good news there. James Conner seems to be on track to play. Well, Juju, sort of a curveball thrown late week here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he just got back to running this week. Remember, he had the knee injury and the concussion. Both he and James Conner, same game. They were injured November 14th against the Browns. James Conner, full practice this week. As you said, everything on track for him to play. So no surprise there. But Juju, who just started running, doing straight line running this week, aggravated his knee during Thursday's practice. And where it looked as if he was potentially going to rejoin this week. Now Juju not expected to play on Sunday.
All right, so that's sort of, a curveball there. But I don't say fortunately, because I don't want to say someone getting hurt is a fortunate thing. But I think it's pretty obvious that by this point, very few people have been counting on Juju Smith-Schuster, not just because of the injury, but because of the ineffectiveness prior to his return. Let's talk about James Conner, though.
If you're playing in Week 15, you've gotten there despite or in spite of Juju Smith-Schuster, not because of.
Yep, correct. And also bad matchup against the Bills. So James Conner, Matthew, all again, sort of same thing here. All of us had him ranked as a top 20 running back, 2020 and 18 respectively. So do we think that if he comes back, this is his job? Because, you know, you've been at the forefront of the frustration. You know, James Conner plays, and then all of a sudden he leaves early, or he plays, yeah, and he's sharing carries with Benny Snell or Kareth White or who knows, right? I mean, Terrell Edmonds.
Samuels gets in there, right.
Trey Edmonds, excuse me. Yeah.
So, yes. Do I think it's his job? I do.
Yep.
I mean, I think, look, he's been very frustrating to have as a fantasy player this year. That said, he's their best running back.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's particularly close. Like, I mean, there's we've seen some flashes, some his nice flashes from Samuels or Benny Snell,
yeah,
but he gives the Steelers the best chance to win a tough AFC matchup, a game that the Steelers need to win to continue to keep their playoff hopes alive. And so my expectation is that if James Conner comes back, does he get a slightly lesser workload? Yeah, maybe, but not enough that, let me put it this way, the reason to bench James Conner this week is not his workload. The reason that you might consider it, and again, I have him as a top 20 play, as do Stefania. We all have him as a lower end RB2. But the arguments against him are the matchup with the Bills, fourth best run defense over the last 4 weeks, the fact that maybe he gets injured and leaves this game early, which we have seen multiple times this year.
Yep. It sort of depends on how you have been accounting for James Conner's absence over the past few weeks. If you found somebody that stepped in and been a rock for you, that's fine. If he was a flex player and all of a sudden you've been relying upon A.J. Brown, you're fine. But if you've been thin at running back, we still think, all things being equal, and let's say you have been piecing it together with Benny Snell or Jalen Samuels, good opportunity to reinsert Conner back into your lineup.
What you're hoping for here, honestly, is just, especially assuming you play in PPR league, in a PPR or even a half point PPR, is that it's just a bunch of dump offs. That, yep, you know, Duck Hodges, whose, you know, yards per attempt is, you know, among the lowest in the NFL, is that just as Buffalo gets pressure, which they do well, you know, that there's just a bunch of dump offs to James Conner and they use him in the passing game. That's one of the frustrations as you've tried to fill in for him with the Jalen Samuels or the Benny Snell, is like they've just, Benny Snell was first and second down, Jalen Samuels was third down. Except for last week when it was like everybody. Like they, it was like, yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Kareth White is out there. So,
right.
So that's what you're hoping for with James Conner. We think he gets enough work here and he's talented enough to be a top 20 play, but certainly not the first rounder you drafted.
DJ Chark Stefania has been really good for the Jaguars. At least he was for the first, maybe like 60% of the season. He's come back down to earth of late. On Sunday, the matchup will be just right against the Raiders. If he even plays.
Yeah, this is a weird one to me. It sounds like he's going to make the trip, but I really can't imagine that he plays. This, go back to Sunday after the game. He's in a walking boot, and he's on a scooter. So usually when you put a guy on a scooter, it means you absolutely want to make sure they're non-weight bearing because you're not even putting them in a boot and crutches where they can touch their foot to the ground. Non-weight bearing. And then Doug Marrone called him week to week.
Yeah.
Now he's potentially still traveling with the team in case he's ready to play. This doesn't feel to me like he'll be healthy enough to play, but it really is obviously a case where it's not as bad as they were initially concerned it would be. I still think it'd be unlikely to see DJ Chark on the field.
Okay. In which case, I think what you see there is, you know, you mentioned the matchup, Stefania, and I agree with it, right? Oakland, they've actually been better defensively. And even though they've been better defensively, they're 18th against the pass over the last 4 weeks. That's better. I mean, they were one of the worst, so now they're middle of the pack.
Technically better, that's right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, where I was going was, they've actually been better defensively, and yet they're still bad.
Yeah.
That's my point is like, they have been. They have been better defensively. I'm just saying, as opposed to one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL, they've been middle of the pack.
Don't tell John Gruden that. John Gruden has said, hey, I'm about sick to my stomach from watching my defense. Yes, in that regard, yes, because they actually, you know, the outlier is that they held Patrick Mahomes to a career low in terms of passing yards. On a per-play basis, they stink, but on a, you know, they just have been a little bit better.
I will say this.
Not a matchup that scares anybody.
It's not. It's certainly not a matchup that scares anybody, but I will say this game is in Oakland, right? And as we said, it's the last
one. Yeah,
this
very
is the
emotional.
Last game.
Yeah.
They will be in Las Vegas next year. So this is the last game ever at the Black Hole for the Silver and Black. And so, I don't know, that's a weird place to play. And you've got the Jaguars traveling across the country in a lost season.
They seem to be 1-2-3 Cabo right now.
Oh my, I mean, they're booking up. I'd like the cabana for the Monday after the season. Yep,
oh, I'm sorry, good sir. That is already reserved for a Stefania Bell.
Ooh.
Oh, can I have it next? Oh, I hear she gets cucumber sandwiches with the crust cut off. I don't even know what I'm doing there. I don't know what Jacksonville player that is.
So
but
if
look,
DJ
here's
Chark
what all I'm
going to
say is like if DJ Chark is out, I think it's from Chris Conley, and
or
I think it's Ndidi Westbrook
or DJ Chark.
DJ Chark. What did I say?
Shark. Whatever.
Whatever. Shark.
You know what? I'm going to start calling you Matty Berry.
No, you know Matthew what? Perry's what you do. Matthew
by
Perry.
Way, yeah. By the way.
I love being friends.
Marcus Larry. That's what we're going to call you from now on.
There you go.
Marcus Larry.
Yeah, Matty Berry doesn't bother me. I've been called much worse than Matty Berry.
Well, I can't call you those things on a TV show. Or live audio.
You're good friends. Fair. What are we?
Huh?
What, if your good friends call you Matty, what are we? We're not your good friends?
Yeah, you're good friend adjacent is what you are.
Good friend?
Good friend
because we have
adjacent.
To be? Yeah, you're contractually required to be
together?
Good friends.
Okay.
No. I'm just screwing around. But, like, yes, of course. You guys are very good friends. Stefan is one of my best friends.
All right. Let's...
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Just shut it down,
Would you like
Marcus.
Me to rank all the friends? Because I can rank all of you.
Give me top five. Give me top for the podcast. Top five podcast friends.
Top five podcast friends.
Yep.
Top five podcast friends.
Yeah, start at five, though.
Right. Eric Hutchinson's two.
Right, yeah. Obviously, Nate.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Right.
Yeah.
Pod Bader.
Yeah, Pod Bader.
Jim Parsons.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Temp Mike.
Checks out.
Yeah,
Morocco Mole,
Gabe
Bussain.
Right. Yeah.
Wise and sage like Mark Harine.
Yeah.
For people that have been listening for a decade.
Oh, yeah.
Tarika is so sweet.
Yeah. I do really like Tarika. That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think I would probably rank my top five. If I had to rank a top five friends, it would be Stefania, Daniel, Keith, Kyle, and Mike Clay. If I had to rank the five
seems about right.
podcast
yeah.
friends in no particular order,
yeah.
but those would be the five I think that I would name.
Yeah.
Let's move along to the minor injuries this week. It's fine. Basically, here's how it goes. We're going to let you rip through these. If there's somebody.
Conley and Shark are both wide receiver threes with upside. They are. I mean, like, yeah. There you go.
Stefania.
Yes.
Your turn right now to start ripping through these minor injuries. If there's actually concern of a player not playing, you can tell us. But let's begin. The floor is yours with Jameis Winston.
Right. And I have pages to turn, so this could, you know, there's a lot of notes here. Yeah, because as you can see, there are many guys. It's an important week. Jameis Winston has a fracture in his thumb, but we still think he's going to play. So my question to you
guys.
With
a tennis ball.
Is, he's been limited both days of practice. He's also listed on the injury report because of his knee, but I just think this is sort of fascinating. Do you put the interception over under higher or lower with the actual break in his thumb?
Here's what I would say about Jameis Winston. There is no rhyme or reason or logic that you can apply to Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston could go out there with like Edward Scissorhands and throw for 600 yards. He could also be 100% healthy against a junior high team and throw five picks. Like there is no rhyme or reason. Like anytime you're like, oh, he's got a great matchup. He's going to go off. And then he doesn't. And then you're like, oh my God, he's playing the 85 Bears. And then he throws for 400 yards. Like, I don't believe there's any logic, rhyme, or reason as to when we get good Jameis or bad Jameis Field.
Completely agree. I can't figure it out. It reminds me of, there was a player, who was it earlier this year, we just couldn't, Tyler Lockett's a good example of it. Like, I have no idea when a good Tyler Lockett day is coming, but Stefania, he's going to play.
That is how it looks as of today, yes.
Okay.
Well, so moving on to somebody who's not likely to play,
yes.
Daniel Jones, high ankle sprain. Now, we heard these rumblings that he really wanted to play, wanted to try and go, but obviously with a high ankle sprain, not smart to get him back out there too soon. So you're going to get another week of Eli Manning.
Eli! Patrick Mahomes.
Sweet!
Patrick Mahomes. Now, Patrick Mahomes had an injury that even he called scary on the weekend. His hand was bruised. He had a lot of swelling after the game. Thankfully, no fracture. But he did get through the last game entirely despite having that bruised hand. By Wednesday of this week, he acknowledged already feeling better. He's been able to grip the ball. He was able to take snaps under center, which is a big deal when you have a hand injury, almost as much as throwing the ball. So just he would have good control. Et cetera, et cetera. So I think
it's a bigger real football injury than just fantasy football. You know what I mean? Like the Chiefs' fate might be tied to whether Patrick Mahomes can be at the very top of his game, where I think for fantasy, he's still very much in play as a top player.
Yeah, but it certainly, it's one of those things where you start worrying about turnovers. You know, if a guy is like all this stuff, those could end up being points away. You start worrying about if he was really limited in throwing, is he not going to throw the ball downfield as much? I do think it could have changed his game plan, but I don't think that's going to be the case anymore. Another quarterback with hand injury, Dak Prescott, actually has injuries on both sides. Has a sprained index finger on his right hand, which is the bigger deal, sprained left wrist. He's got tape that he's been wearing on his index finger in practice, says he'll probably wear it during the game, but it is not... He also called it not serious. So Dak Prescott will play despite the sprained finger.
Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams, I think this one's kind of interesting because we haven't seen him limited in practice since, I think, I have a note here. It's his first limited practice report since December. He's had kind of modest yardage for Devontae Adams in the last few games, but he still has managed to find the end zone twice in week 13, once in week 12. Week 14, only four catches for 41 yards, so his performance has been a little up and down. And it does make you a little concerned that he was downgraded to limited yesterday in practice. And this is the first time we've seen it. Not really any explanation for that, but something to watch on Friday.
Okay. Damian Williams, Tavanya, it feels like it's been forever since he played. He last played in Mexico City at Estadio Azteca for the Chiefs.
Yeah, took a knee to the ribs and had that left-sided rib injury. Now, this is his first practice since the injury was this week. So he's been limited both days. It's not really clear whether they expect him back yet or not. May not be quite ready to go, but he has been out there practicing.
If he plays, Matthew, can you start any Chiefs running back?
Yeah, I mean, you're hoping for a flex. You don't feel great about it. You know, I do think that you can run on Denver, right? I mean, the Broncos are 26th against the run over the last 4 weeks here. And so I think if Damian Williams starts, I would be okay starting him as a flex.
Okay.
Do I feel good about it? No.
That would downgrade LeSean McCoy to outside of lineups.
Yeah, I don't think you can start LeSean McCoy. I don't think you can start Darwin Thompson or Spencer Ware. But I do think Damian Williams, given his usage in the passing game, especially if you're hearing Stefania saying Mahomes isn't 100%, maybe you see a little bit more checkdowns or usage of the run game here in a game that we expect the Chiefs to win. So, yes, I do think Damian Williams is a viable flex player.
Let's keep it rolling here, Stefania. Jordan Howard has not played for quite some time in Philly and may not be more time.
No, it still remains limited in practice. You know, even last week we saw him listed as questionable on the pregame report. It was the first time that he either hadn't been ruled out or doubtful. Comes in at questionable, but still had not been cleared for contact. And I don't have any indication, at least so far, that anything has changed. So unless something happens today, we get an update, I would be very surprised if Jordan Howard plays, because his status really, when it comes to contact after that stinger, has not changed. One more note just came in. Tim McManus, Alshon Jeffrey having surgery for a Lisfranc injury. Alshon Jeffrey had said that he felt a pop in his foot when he went off the field and it looked bad. Again, this is a reminder, Lisfranc injuries are highly variable, but if he had an unstable injury and or fracture, you have surgery, and that's where he's headed. So we knew he was on IR, but obviously that's a pretty significant recovery for him. You're talking about 3 to 6 months.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with that wide receiver core. Nelson Agholor missed last week. I don't know if we have a sense yet if he's going to play this week or not.
Still not sure, yeah.
Still not sure on Agholor. So otherwise, it's J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Greg Ward.
That's right. I mean, Robert Davis called up from the practice squad this week as well, formerly of the Redskins. Plenty of speed, but still hard to trust any Eagles wide receiver.
If Agholor was healthy.
I still wouldn't feel great about it.
Yeah, I don't feel great about it, but I do think he could be a...
He'd be the only one that I could play.
He's the only one that you could play. It's a good matchup. I don't know. I'd probably rank him somewhere in the mid-30s.
Sounds about right to me as well. A wide receiver 4 with not that much upside. Devontae Freeman, Stefania, back on the injury report. Jeez, can't go 2 weeks without this guy getting banged up.
Missed weeks 11 and 12 with a foot sprain. Then comes back, has had pretty similar stats in the last two games. 4 catches and 17 carries each of the last two games. And last week gets a touchdown, but ends up with a knee injury. He was not on the list of players who were not traveling to San Francisco.
Okay.
Double negative there. But so that would imply to me that he is actually making the trip. So take that for what you will. That's where it stands at this point.
Okay. If he sits, it will be Brian Hill. I would not have very much confidence because they're playing the Niners, who, despite all of their injuries, are very, very good. Evan Ingram, Stefania, missed this past week's game. Obviously, he's been dealing with that foot issue for quite some time. Any progress there?
Still listed as limited. Jordan Ronan, who covers the team and obviously is all up to date on the injury thing, said he has a chance to return from injury this week. Last week, they thought Evan Ingram was going to go. Remember, we felt on Friday, we felt good about it. Evan Ingram was trending towards playing, but then on the last practice of the week said he just didn't feel quite comfortable enough with making cuts. I have a feeling it's going to be, that's going to be kind of the debate today, is how does he look and feel in practice.
Okay, we shall see there. Obviously, I don't feel strongly about playing a Giants tight end to fill in. Cade Smith was fine 2 weeks ago, but still, Ingram a huge part of that passing offense. Let's wrap things up here, Stefania, with back-to-back tight ends that are currently in the concussion protocol.
Yeah, Greg Olsen listed as limited in practice, so we'll see today. It's probably, could be that he's still just awaiting that final clearance to return. So, again, limited is better than non-participating. Certainly suggests that he has a chance, but today's practice will be important. And then Jared Cook, the Saints don't play until Monday night, but the fact that he was listed as a participant on Thursday, the first practice report of the week for the team, as limited, is a positive, so stay tuned. But if you need to know, you know, again, with the Saints and Jared Cook, you may not get that clearance until Saturday afternoon, so just factor that into your decision.
Factor that in. Just a little bit of context on Evan Ingram, and this kind of goes with what Stefania was saying, is that Art Stapleton has reported that he is not expected to play. Evan Ingram, no longer expected to play. There was some optimism. You do wonder if perhaps what the Giants are doing is sort of taking the long view here, right? 2-10, 2-11. How much is there to glean, or how much is there to gain, I should say, from playing a guy who is a huge part of your future this late in the season with so little at stake?
Hey, Thirsty Kyle, curious for this. It's very frustrating. How many games has Evan Ingram played of the eligible ones he has in his NFL career?
I missed a lot.
I know. That's what I'm just. I mean, obviously he's a very different type player, but sort of Gronkian. Like, you know, when you think about, like, sort of, you think about Jordan Reed, you think about Tyler Eifert, you think about Rob Gronkowski, right? They're obviously all very different players, but they were all basically, like, great when they're healthy.
34-46. Not that bad, actually, here for Ingram.
Okay, that's so if he misses 12 games. If he misses this week, it'll be 12 games in his NFL career. So not great, but not as bad as I actually thought.
Let's move forward. And Stefania, before we get to Matthew's love-hate, a word from you about burglars.
Burglars love the holidays.
Do they?
Did you guys know that?
Did not know that.
Oh, sure. Burger.
That's a different burglar. The Hamburglar. Real burglars
love... I miss the Hamburglar, by the way.
Doesn't really look like you've missed the Hamburglar.
Wow. Is that a 2X right there?
Yeah. Kind of just walked into that one.
Well done, Mayor McCheese. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Burglars love the holidays.
He's got a little grimace going on over there, actually.
They know you're going to go out and shop for last-minute gifts, off to visit family, or going on a long vacation. So you have to ask yourself, what does real protection mean for you? Well, with ADT, you can get all of the latest innovation in smart home security combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. Customize your system to fit your home. Everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights, all controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice. So help protect your home this holiday season and get the nation's number one smart home security provider, get ADT. Visit ADT.com today.
All right.
Thank you for that, Starfania. Time now for Love Hate, which, of course, is posted and available now on ESPN.com. Matthew, we're going to start with three players that you love, and let's begin with Raheem Mostert for the San Francisco 49ers, who looks like the best running back on that roster right now.
Yeah, and not particularly close, by the way. Mm, and, you know, even though Kyle Shanahan for the longest time was sort of like a committee and everything like that, Raheem Mostert has 62% of the 49ers' backfield touches over the last 2 weeks. I don't want to name names. I don't want to point anything out. I just want to say that last week when we were in this exact spot and we talked about which 49ers running back to start, one of us said Mostert.
Mm.
Other people may have said other names. I'm not going to point out any names. I'm not going to say, like, Field said, you know, Matt Breida, or Stefania said Tevin Coleman. I'm not going to say anything like that. But you know, anyway, Raheem Mostert.
Your humility never fails. Jarvis Landry, Matthew, he also makes
anyway,
you
anyway, whatever. Now, hang on. Me throwing you guys under the bus aside, let me actually give some analysis here on Raheem Mostert, whatever, because I get plenty wrong as well, and you guys crush. So, all right, here's the thing. Rushing touchdown in three straight games. It's a great matchup with the Falcons, who have allowed a rushing touchdown in three straight. When Raheem Mostert gets at least 10 carries, and Kyle Shanahan came out earlier this week and said, like, he's forced our hand. We have to give this guy more work. And again, remember, Mostert, 62% of the backfield touches over the last 2 weeks. When Raheem Mostert gets at least 10 carries in a game, he's averaging 7 yards per carry. And so in kind of a lost season for the Falcons. My expectation here is that the 49ers win this game. They win this game fairly easily. And Raheem Mostert gets a nice workload here. I have him, he makes my love list this week. I think he is a high-end flex with potential for more.
Jarvis Landry.
Oh, wait, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to pull a Matthew, pull an auto call an audible.
Yeah,
were just talking about Jordan Howard. Doug Peterson just said he is still not cleared for contact. So there you go, which is the thing that we were waiting on. And now, as of today, he has not been. So expect Jordan Howard to be out this game.
Oh, so okay. For those that picked up Boston Scott saying like, hey, I hope that
a little bit of viability there.
A little bit of viability. I think Boston Scott is very much viable this week.
Jarvis Landry is a tiny bit banged up, but don't see any major concern for him playing on Sunday, and that's part of the reason why, Matthew, he makes your love list against the Cardinals.
I'm as a top 12 fantasy wide receiver. Look, we saw the Cardinals on the schedule like, oh, a Browns wide receiver is going to go off here. So it's not the guy we thought in the preseason. Jarvis Landry has been nothing short of terrific. Get this, Field. Since week 9, on a per-game basis, okay, Jarvis Landry ranks top 6 among all wide receivers in the following categories. Fantasy points, targets, catches. I mean, Arizona struggles against the slot, which is obviously where Landry lines up most of the time. They've allowed over 150 yards to the slot in 3 of their past 4 games. They're dead last in defense over the last 4 weeks. They're 28th in scoring defense. I think the Browns win this game, and I think they do it on a Baker to Jarvis Landry connection, especially with Odell Beckham Jr. also not 100%.
I'm not going to name names, but one of us during the preseason was like, Jarvis Landry's going to be an absolute stud again. I'm not going to name names. Again, seriously.
I'll name names.
Not
it was
one
you.
Of us, and one of us
it was
like,
100%
oh, yeah,
you.
Not top
I will name names. It was 100% you. You were much more bullish on Landry. Much more bullish on Landry than I was. Look, one of my worst calls of the season, possibly my worst call of the season.
Stop it.
I'm going to cop to this. Oh. One of my worst calls of the season, if not my worst, was I was all in on the Browns. I was a Baker believer. I was an Odell Beckham Jr. believer. Like,
so was everybody else. So was everybody else.
But I'm not in control of anyone else. I'm only in control of me.
Great.
If I'm going to sit here and slag you guys and throw you under the bus, I have to throw myself under the bus as well.
Okay.
Vroom.
Slag?
Ryan Tannehill.
Hang on.
That's not a word.
The bus is rolling over me. Vroom. Vroom.
Ryan
Tannehill.
For the Tennessee Titans also makes a love list. Matthew, he is your quarterback 6 against the
Houston
Texans.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill, baby. Ryan Tannehill is my 6th quarterback of the week. QB6. I have Ryan Tannehill as QB6 in week 15. It's an unbelievable world, but guess what? I might be too low on him.
Wow.
Since week 7, Ryan Tannehill is the 2nd best quarterback in fantasy on a points per game basis. Right? So he's averaging 22 fantasy points per game. He leads the NFL with 9.9 yards per attempt in that stretch now. A lot of that is yards after the catch. A lot of that is A.J. Brown getting it to him like 10 yards open, and then A.J. Brown does the rest.
Sure.
But still, some of that is Tannehill, and it all counts. Tannehill throwing him to the right spots. Good for Ryan Tannehill. It's been a great story. You love the matchup with the Texans. Houston has allowed 3 or more touchdown passes, a league high 7 times this year. No one has allowed more. And they also allow 23 fantasy points to an opposing quarterback 7 different times this season. That's 2nd most in the NFL. The Texans defense is not so good. Ryan Tannehill's red hot. I know it seems crazy to be like, yeah, I'm benching this guy that I've rode into the playoffs, but yes. Stefan is like cracking up because I'm butchering.
For the record,
English language.
I think Red Heart is one of my favorite bands that I've ever listened to. You know
Red Heart?
I mean? Yeah, Red Heart.
Are they a crappy band that you've never heard of?
Yeah.
That's a problem when Daniel can talk when you make a screw up like that, and then
and it gets
like,
in your ear.
It gets in my ear.
It's just not fair. You should share with the class.
I
don't want to interrupt you. My name's not Marcus Leary. I let people talk.
I'm the kid who got in
on.
Trouble in school because of kids like Daniel. So oh. I'm the one who laughs out loud, but he's the one who made.
Oh, you mean
joke,
I'm the cool
the
kid? You're saying I'm the cool kid, then, right?
I'm saying you're the troublemaker.
You're the troublemaker.
I'm saying you're the troublemaker.
But I'm the one who gets sent out of
gotta
go stand in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Office,
at Dot Mama. At Dot Mama, maybe need to come down here and get you from school. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. Do I need to ask the video team? Do I need to redo that for them?
No, I don't think so. I think
no, I butchered
I think
the English language there.
Laughing at it is appropriate.
Yeah. All right.
Also
anyway, whatever.
Okay.
Ryan Tannehill. We like
makes
Ryan Tannehill. This week.
Let's get to the hate list. Matthew, 3 player who you do not like to meet their projections this weekend. Joe Mixon faces off against the Patriots. Joe Mixon has been good of late. The Patriots run defense, though, specifically their fantasy defense against opposing running backs, has been awesome all year.
Yeah, they've allowed the fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs this year, Field. In fact, only twice this year has a running back scored even 14.5 fantasy points against New England this year. And last 4 games, they've given up just 1 rushing touchdown here. If you look at what Mixon has done when he's played a good defense, a top 10 defense against fantasy running backs, which is what the Patriots are, he's averaging just 3.1 yards per carry. You're encouraged by the workload that he has gotten when Andy Dalton has returned. So you're encouraged by that and his passing game usage. And could volume mask his inefficiency here? Sure. Could he fall into the end zone? Sure. It just doesn't feel great, especially given how good he has been recently. I still have him as a top 20 play this week because of the volume he's going to get, but I would lower expectations for Joe Mixon this week.
Same thing can be applied to Cortland Sutton, your wide receiver 20 for the week. They go to Kansas City and play the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're still starting Cortland Sutton, but there's cause for concern here. Kansas City, this is really weird, but Kansas City has been really good. Their defense has struggled, but they've actually been really good against the deep pass, right? 15 yards or more downfield. They actually allowed the third lowest completion percentage on deep passes this year. They've also been really good against perimeter wide receivers. Perimeter wide receivers, which is where Cortland Sutton lines up most of the time, are catching a league low 48.8% of their targets against the Chiefs. The only perimeter wide receiver to score more than 12 fantasy points against the Chiefs this entire year, Chris Conley in week one.
Mm, wow.
So it's an area where it's an area of strength for them. It's a division game in Arrowhead in December. Drew Lock has been more impressive than I think we thought he was going to be in his first couple of starts. Is that for Arrowhead?
Yes.
What do you mean, is that for Arrowhead?
I mean, it was 10 seconds late.
I got in her ear as soon as I could, and she was just like,
for Arrowhead, and then blah, 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 Drew Lock, bang!
You paid attention.
What do you mean paid attention? Like, you didn't pay attention. Like,
I didn't, because you were talking. Then I heard Arrowhead. It, like, came to me.
Like, in a slow fog, and then Stefania.
Basically, what Stefania's saying is you're the Charlie Brown teacher, and, like, so she just doesn't actually hear words when you speak.
Yeah, she doesn't listen to what I say. Arrowhead.
Get it right.
Right. And then Stefania, like, in slow motion, like, Arrowhead, it seeps through that fog where she's like sitting here making wine reservations and beach accommodations. And so it just like seeps in like slowly, and it's just sort of like,
where was that cabana reservation I had? Okay.
1, 2, 3,
Cabo. I should do something with Arrowhead. What is
it? Get back to your conversation about Cortland Sutton.
And the cobwebs come off, and all of a sudden Stefania's like, oh, Arrow. Right.
Anyway. That was a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you ring a bell. Star, Fanya.
Let's
FYI.
Yeah.
Anyway, Cortland Sutton, I have him inside my top 20. I think he's a low-end wide receiver, too.
So while neither of those players would be ones that you would consider benching, the rankings suggest that Josh Allen would be a player that you would be benching on Sunday against the Steelers.
Yeah, we expect this to be a low-scoring slugfest, right? Vegas has the over-under at 36.5. It's the lowest over-under on the slate this week. Steelers have been really good. They're even better at home, but fourth fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this season, 11 or fewer fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks in 4 of their last 5. They've allowed under 200 passing yards in 6 of their last 7. They're the fourth best passing defense over the last 4 weeks. They're the third best scoring defense. Like, pick a stat, and the Steelers defense is at the top of it. And so Josh Allen, who may not be 100% healthy, you know, like, I think he only had 2 rushes for 9 yards last week.
Yes,
like,
didn't just 2 rushes.
Feels like he's a little bit gimpy at this point in the season, and so maybe he doesn't run as much. You don't get that high floor that you normally get from Josh Allen. So lowered expectations here for Josh Allen outside my top 15 for the week.
No knowledge in terms of an injury for Josh Allen, nothing that I've heard of, but something to keep an eye on. Perhaps that is at least a small part of the reason why he rushed just twice last week. We're going to take a quick break.
He left the game for a little while, right? I think it was like 2 weeks ago that he left the game, and then he came back. It's like a foot thing, Stefania.
I think you might be mistaken here.
You're making some things up.
I thought he left the game recently. Am I crazy on this? He left the game at some point this season.
I
don't know if it was recently.
Whatever.
Nothing on the injury report, so no injury that is limiting him in any way. So just something to keep an eye on, though. We'll see whether or not the Bills continue to be a little bit more conservative with his running, or whether last week was just an aberration. We're coming back in just a second to talk about top 3 wide receivers from week 14 and whether they're question marks or surefire starters.
You're in the 06010.
Moving things along here to our wide receivers 1, 2, and 3 from last week and how confident we are in them this week. Let's begin with Emmanuel Sanders for Star Fania's 49ers. They host the Falcons on Sunday after a couple of really tough road games, both in Baltimore and then New Orleans. He had 34.1 fantasy points. It was a 7 for 157 plus a receiving and passing touchdown for Emmanuel Sanders. This week, how have we corrected things? Well, he's a top 23 play for all three of us. You know, Matthew, I think it's possible that he has a top 15 day. It's possible that he has, you know, a top 35 day. It's hard. I'm not sure there's a real rhyme or reason to it.
No, we certainly don't expect him to throw a touchdown pass again, but I'm more optimistic than not given the matchup here. Falcons have allowed over 20 fantasy points to wide receivers 7 different times so far this season.
Super banged up.
You know, their defense, yeah.
Yeah.
Their defense is banged up. Looks like Emmanuel Sanders is back to full health, you know? I'm as a top 25 play. We all do. I'm more bullish than not on Emmanuel Sanders. By the way, last couple of weeks, the 49ers, who used to be the run-heaviest team in the NFL, last couple of weeks, Jimmy Garoppolo and company are passing it over 60% of the time in terms of their passing rate. And so Jimmy Garoppolo made my love list this week. He's a, you know, I have him as a top 10 fantasy
past 5 years.
Well, exactly. Her permanent love list.
I'm just laughing. You say Jimmy Garoppolo and company. Like, I'm assuming you put Emmanuel Sanders in that company.
Obviously.
Because he's one of the people who threw a touchdown.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway,
if there were other people throwing the ball besides Jimmy Garoppolo.
With the 49ers defense banged up a little bit.
A lot.
Yeah, I mean, my expectation is Atlanta maybe moves the ball a little bit more effectively than you might think.
Yeah.
And so they've been opening up the offense anyway, and so I think they'll be throwing, and Emmanuel Sanders, after George Kittle, is the pass catcher you feel the most confident in there. You know, Deebo Samuel's had some nice moments, but he hasn't had the volume that we've seen from Emmanuel Sanders.
So these next two players, I think, check a lot of the same boxes. Both of them are rookie wide receivers with plenty of speed. Both of them have favorable matchups, and both of them have been so red hot of late. The thought process is that, listen, we understand that based off of the offenses they play in, based off of the teammates they have, it's not a guarantee that they are going to dominate. This is not DeAndre Hopkins, who always dominates targets every single week for the Houston Texans. But these are two players, in A.J. Brown and Darius Slayton, that if you bench them this week and they continue to do what they have done quite frequently of late, you're going to be kicking yourself. A.J. Brown has been red hot for the Titans. Darius Slayton has been awesome for the Giants. They both rank inside our top 30. I think each of these guys, like, if you have them on your roster, I think you'd be talking yourself out of starting them as opposed to talking yourself into starting them.
Both have great matchups, obviously. A.J. Brown with the Texans, we talked about it earlier with Ryan Tannehill. Darius Slayton against the Dolphins, of course, enough said there. If there's a concern on A.J. Brown, it's just been volume, right? He has one game this year with more than 5 catches. Like, he's been very big play dependent. And so now he has the talent,
right,
and Tannehill is throwing to him, but the volume hasn't been there. So he's just been crazy efficient. Having said that, given the matchup with Houston and the way Tannehill is rolling, I am as a wide receiver 25 for the week. Field, you have him at 24. Stefania also at 25. So we're all right there as a wide receiver 3 with upside. As for Slayton, we all, same sort of thing. Look, Eli's his quarterback, and I get it. He's been red hot. He's coming off the huge game, and it's Miami. But could he go to Sterling Shepard? Could he connect with Golden Tate? Could this be a Saquon game? And so, you know, he's a rookie wide receiver. We think he has a lot of upside and potential, not only for this week, but a very bright future. But there's still risk there. So,
yes,
again,
sure
we all have him as a top 30 play this week.
Excited for the future for both of those players, and I think they can help you win a championship this Sunday. Matthew, before we get to guys that were on the other side of the spectrum, a little word from you on TD Ameritrade.
TD Ameritrade. Hey, Stefania.
Hey, Matthew.
You know that fantasy football feeling when the excitement of a new week builds? You know how you flex your analytical skills by poring over stats, studying charts, trying to spot trends, you know, with a big thing of wine next to you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yep, absolutely.
You got it.
Well, what if I told you can use those same skills? The fantasy football ones, not the wine pouring skills.
Okay.
Oh, you can do that too.
Yeah, but what if I told you could use those same skills of poring over stats, studying charts,
and pouring? I thought you meant wine. Okay.
Yeah, yep. Poring over stats, studying charts, and trying to spot trends. What if you could use those same skills to invest and feel that same sense of anticipation every single day.
Well, I'd do it.
Would you?
I would.
There you go. Well, TD Ameritrade thinks you can. They believe in you, Stefania. That's
do.
Because a lot of those same analytical skills you use to set your lineup can help you build a portfolio. Not to mention TD Ameritrade has all the education and investing tools you need to feel confident when you take the trading floor. There's paper money.
I like that.
So you can practice trading risk-free. Charting to help you spot trends in the market. They'll even create an investing training plan that's unique to you and your needs, complete with exclusive videos, webcasts, and courses. Just visit tdameritrade.com/fantasy to learn more. Once again, that's tdameritrade.com/fantasy and get started. Member SIPC.
So we just talked about a couple of players that were sort of unexpected stars, at least where they were drafted, if they were drafted at all, in the preseason. How about the other side of the coin where you've got guys like Alvin Kamara and Saquon Barkley that just not have not delivered in the way that you wanted them to? Alvin Kamara is a top 10 play for all of us still, but should we be nervous at all here, Matthew? At 6.3 fantasy points last week, Kamara has not had that dominant game recently that you've been hoping for when you drafted him as a top 4 pick.
He certainly is not. He has not scored in 10 of 11 games this year. Like, his only game with over 75 rushing yards was week one against the Texans.
Right.
His only game with his, I'm sorry, his last game with over 50 receiving yards was week three at Seattle.
Crazy.
I mean, and like, they were down by the goal line last week, and I think Kamara got two goal line carries and couldn't convert. And it was just like, what does this guy have to do to get into the end zone? Now, watch him go out and score three touchdowns on Monday night just because, you know, regression to the mean. But it is, are you concerned? You have to be.
Right.
You have to be concerned. All that said, he's had 13 red zone touches since week 10. That's tied for the sixth month. He's had some unluck, but you have to figure it's coming. He's going to get into the end zone. Seven straight games with at least four catches. That's the longest streak by a running back so far this season. It's not a great matchup with the Colts. They're sixth against the run over the last 4 weeks, but he's Alvin Kamara, right? And we expect... So weird in a game in which the Niners gave up so many points and everyone scored except Kamara, just didn't have a monster.
Amazing.
You know,
6.3 fantasy points.
Right. But again, it's one of those things that there's not a lot of analysis to go other than just say,
just
like,
you hope for the best.
You hope for the best. It's disappointing, but you're obviously starting Alvin Kamara on Monday night.
Saquon Barkley had some comments this week about just the mental side of coming back from an ankle injury that he had earlier on this season that cost him, I believe, two games plus the game that he left early against Tampa Bay. So nearly three full games of Saquon Barkley not being available. That being said, he's been playing, and to my knowledge, he hasn't been listed as limited or anything or on the injury report. He's been basically
I was actually really glad he said this, because sometimes it takes a player of his stature that no one's going to question, like, you know, how talented he is or is he how committed he is to playing, because obviously he was doing everything to get back. But this is a real thing, this whole mental aspect of getting past an injury. You have a serious injury. It's as much that and coming back. So he said he's watched film and he can see that he is inadvertently protecting himself, sort of the subconscious way of moving that is different than his normal way. And that may stick around till this season's over. This is not uncommon. So, yeah, he mentioned that and it. He wasn't making an excuse. He was just sort of acknowledging that, yeah, he's running a little bit differently right now.
Well, I'll tell you what else he's doing. He's going for the home runs way too much. Now, he had some success with this last year, and I'm not trying to decry the merits of Saquon Barkley's skill set. He's incredible. He is still, I think, as gifted as any running back in football. But he's got to just take what's given to him sometimes, because that's going to evolve into more big plays by just trusting the offensive line.
I've made a career of
breaking
that.
Okay. Taking what's given.
And not go for the home run.
Not go for the home run.
Where I was going with by the way, though, is that for as disappointing as it has been this year from Saquon Barkley, because it has been disappointing, not just the injury, but also the overall effectiveness, Saquon Barkley has a chance to make good in a major way. Because some people, anybody who's still riding Saquon Barkley, it's a great matchup against Miami, an opportunity for him to have a Saquon Barkley-type day that we've come to expect and be awesome on Sunday.
Can I give you a crazy stat? Thirsty Kyle found this one. When do you think the last time Saquon Barkley was a top 20 running back in a week?
So it's week 15 now? I don't
know. It was probably before the injury. I was going to say before the injury.
Week 9.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah. Oh.
Week 9. Week 9, the last time Saquon Barkley
right
was top 20.
Unbelievable.
For a week. He had two good games. He came back from the injury in week 7. He had two good games, and then he's been brutal. Week 9, the last time Saquon Barkley finished in the top 20 scoring running backs for a week.
Time now for our IBM Watson Insight of the Week, and it is regarding Tyler Lockett, who somehow is still a top 22 play for all of us. Feels sort of weird to even say that. But Watson says that Lockett has a 19.9 ceiling and a 9.6-point floor in the eyes of IBM Watson, with his boom potential outweighing his bust potential. Matthew, do you believe that his boom potential outweighs his bust potential, given how poorly he has played of late? I don't.
So Watson basically says like he could either be really good or really bad.
But more likely to boom than bust.
More likely to boom than bust. I agree with that. Look, we the expectation here is that, Mike Clay does such a great job every week with our wide receiver cornerback matchups. He does that.
It's always a must read. Wow.
His expectation is that James Bradbury is going to be on DK Metcalf. And so the Carolina Panthers are a really nice matchup here for Tyler Lockett as well. So again, 12 times this season, a wide receiver has scored 14.9 fantasy points or more against Carolina. He did get 7 targets last week. Pete Carroll says he is fully healthy now. And so on the road is a almost touchdown favorite of Carolina. And if Bradbury is on Metcalf as we expect, then yeah, I think the slot will be open. The middle of the field will be open for Tyler Lockett. They need to get him going as they get into the playoffs. So I could see a concerted effort to try to get him to it now. Tremendous amounts of risk, right? I mean, he's had under 45 yards in 4 straight.
Yeah.
He's been brutal.
And that's why I was surprised you thought that the boom was more likely than the bust.
I think the bust is very much in play, but I think the boom is more likely. And I can't believe we use words like this in normal everyday sentences, but whatever. I think the boom is more likely than the bust because of the matchup and because I think there is some regression here. Like again, the fact that he's fully healthy, I love the matchup. The fact that he got 7 targets last week, the fact that as they look around, no Rashad Penny out of the backfield here. So Chris Carson's going to get a heavy workload, but yeah, you'll see some Josh Gordon as well. But, and obviously they're going to take some, Bradbury's a very good corner. I don't know that he's a shutdown corner, right? It's not like old Revis Island days or something like that. Where you're just avoiding the guy, but I do think Tyler Lockett gets 7 or 8 targets, and in this match has more potential to do something than not.
Couple more here. Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know. There's a lot of analysis here. We all have him as a top 21 play, and I wouldn't say that he has torpedoed your roster in the way that some of the other guys we've been talking about have recently. He had just 5.9 fantasy points last week, but he had been in a streak of double-digit fantasy points for quite some time. He hasn't been amazing, but over his last 5 games, he's got 12, 10, 8, 7, and 5 targets. I understand that is descending, but still, 9 targets a game is very good for Odell Beckham. He leads the Brown with 8 end zone targets. He's playing the Arizona Cardinals, which is a favorable matchup. I think you just have to trust the process here with Odell. Just sort of trust it and hope that he turns out not even a vintage Odell Day, but just like 7 for 75, maybe a touchdown.
The weird part is that if you trust the process, you'd be benching him because the process would say this guy's been brutal for a long, long time. I think you're trusting the talent. Yeah. You're trusting the talent and you're trusting the matchup and you're hoping for the best is what you're really doing is you're hoping. I have Odell Beckham in a couple of leagues. I don't feel good about it, but I'm starting him in every league I got.
Yeah. You gotta hope this matchup is just right because the Cardinals have really struggled. They've allowed 40 wide receiver points per game this season. That's the second most in the NFL. One of the most fascinating decisions this weekend in fantasy football is Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know specifically how many people that are still in the playoffs have been riding Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback for the full season. But if you have been, you've got a really difficult decision to make. Aaron Rodgers against the Chicago Bears. If you play in a 10-team league, if you play in a 12-team league, Stefania and I say bench him. Matthew, you've got him inside your top 10. We've got him outside of our top 12. Both Stefania and I have him at 13. I'm not saying you are like wholeheartedly confident, but why are you semi-confident in Aaron Rodgers?
Last 3 home games against Chicago, Aaron Rodgers is a different player when he gets to Lambeau. He's a different player, right? And his last 3 home games against Chicago, over 68% completion percentage, 10 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He averaged 23.9 fantasy points per game. Last 3 road games, he's been brutal against them. And so the expectation here is at home, they've just been better. They're averaging at home this year. Aaron Rodgers is averaging over 26 fantasy points per game. He's completing over 40% of his third down throws. He's averaging over 6 yards per play. And that's a stark contrast to how he's been away from Lambeau so far this year. Just 30% on third down, 4.5 yards per play, 20 fantasy points per game. So he's almost, you know, he's 6 points better per game, basically,
at
Lambeau.
The team. That's the team scoring.
The team has been much more effective at home.
It's under Aaron Rodgers. Are you sure? Right.
Green Bay at home this season.
The team as a whole, the offense has been moving better at home. He's been better, like you said earlier, against Chicago at home. Yeah.
He's been better at home as well. Sorry, that's my fault. Then that's my misreading of the stats and the research that we have here in terms of what Aaron Rodgers does at home. But anyway, my expectation here is that this is a game that, because the Bears offense has been playing better, right, so
they
far
have
this
been,
year.
Yeah.
Right? That because the Bears offense is playing better, and I expect Trubisky and company to move the ball against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, they're going to have to throw more. I think this is a higher scoring game than people think. I think people are thinking this is going to be kind of a slugfest here.
Do we board bet it for top 12 status?
What do you mean? Aaron Rodgers top 12 play?
Yeah,
I say Aaron Rodgers will be a top 12 play this week. Sure.
Okay. I say Aaron Rodgers will not be a top 12 play in fantasy football this week.
Put it on the board!
Put it on the board.
Thank you, Daniel. Okay. We'll be right back.
And Thirsty Kyle, by the way, has Aaron Rodgers playing.
Oh, yeah.
Me.
So you're going to win the board bet, and then I'll just beat you in fantasy.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay. We're going to talk about Field and Stream in just a moment. But first, hiring is challenging. But there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. And growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a new game artist to grow with her education tech company. But then she switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. And you too can, by signing
Welcome
up
to
for
my
free
world.
At ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. And by using ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter candidates, Gretchen found it easier to focus on the best ones, then find the right one. In fact, after posting her job on ZipRecruiter, Gretchen said she was honestly surprised she found qualified applicants so quickly and hired a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
He's Field Yates.
Field and Stream.
Gave yourself applause for that?
I love you guys. Thank you. That is amazing. Well done right there. Were you recording that into are you just going to play that for subsequent weeks?
I think every time we do Field and Stream, that's the new intro to it.
I love it. It's so good. Whoever thought of that, well,
brilliant.
America's favorite
brilliant.
Segment,
Before
Field
we
and
begin
Stream.
With it, though, Stefania, Noah Fant is on my list here. It looked kind of ugly late last week. He was carted off the field, but do we think he's going to play on Sunday? Otherwise, my segment might be bungled.
Yeah, no, it sounds like he's going to play, but he has two injuries, not just one. He has a foot issue, and he's got an ankle issue, and also hip irritation. According to Vic Fangio, had a bruised foot, had x-rays taken on Sunday that came back negative, but it has been giving him a little bit of trouble in practice, although he has looked fairly good, according to Jeff Legwell, during the open session that's available to the media. So it kind of depends what he's done today. Everybody will want to double check, but it appears that he has improved as the week has gone on and that he will play.
He's available in 2/3 of league, and Matthew, I thought, wisely described him as a potential trendy sleeper for 2020. Yep. Not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but the guy is super talented. 4 catches for 113 yards and a touchdown on his 12 routes last week. So not even playing that much, and he still had a great game last week. Oh, by the way, now he plays against the Chiefs, who have allowed a league-high 85 receptions to opposing tight ends this season. He is just a really, really talented dude who should have a good opportunity.
And, you know, I'm a little bit down on Cortland Sutton this week as well, so that should benefit as Drew Lock is looking around for other potential pass catchers if the Chiefs are successful in taking Sutton out of the game a little bit here. You mentioned 2020, by the way. Just quick shout out. My love hate this week, my top, my week 15 love hate also has my way too early top 50 for 2020.
There you go.
So even if you are out of the playoffs, check that out. See if you agree or disagree with where I'm at on the top 50.
Speaking of tight ends with good matchups, David Njoku for the Cleveland Browns plays the Cardinals, who have allowed 256 tight end points this season. It's 44 more than any other defense. That's more than Hunter Henry and Jared Cook have combined points this year. He saw three targets on his seven routes last week in his return to action. So you figure he probably doubles his routes at minimum, maybe even triples them. If he does, you're talking about a guy that's going to see somewhere between 7 and 10 targets and a very good matchup. I know it was not perfect last week from David Njoku in his return, but certainly has a very, very favorable matchup. We always say to start your tight ends against the Arizona Cardinals. And then one defensive note here, the Buccaneers, who they play the Detroit Lions. Sorry, Daniel, but as we know, the Lions right now offensively are very banged up. It's not just that David Blau is likely to start again at quarterback, but Marvin Jones, as we know, headed to IR. Kerryon Johnson not eligible to play until week 16. The Vikings had their best defensive effort in terms of fantasy points last week against the Lions since all the way back in week 1. And weirdly, the Bucs have been a top 3 fantasy defense in 2 of the past 3 weeks. A lot is because they're willing to blitz. Shaquille Barrett has been incredible for them this year. He's got 15 sacks. For some context, that's 2 fewer than the Dolphins have as a team this year. I know the secondary is not great, but in fantasy football, you're looking for turnovers and the opportunity to capitalize on them. The Buccaneers have done a good job of that throughout the season. One of my favorite streaming defenses of the week is the Bucs.
You know another streaming defense I like?
Who do you like?
I agree with the Buccaneers, but I also like the Chiefs this week. At home, in Arrowhead, against the rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Divisional yeah. game.
Chiefs playing well. They got some secret sauce recently on defense.
They have played better recently.
Yep,
the Chiefs
sure have.
I mean, they've played a lot better. This is a big game for them. They need this game. It's Drew Lock. It's his third start ever on the road at Arrowhead. There's a, sure. you know, anyway, I like the Chiefs defense this week.
Like that call as well. So let's say you're trailing and you need a huge, huge comeback. This is not quite field and stream, but just like YOLO, right? YOLO! You never know what you're going to get out of this person. And let's be honest. Let's say you're down 35 points in your semifinal. It's a 2-week semifinal. And you're like, listen, if I go with status quo, I'm not winning. I'm just not. I need somebody to have an atypical, a Darius Slayton-like week last week. How about the number 2 wide receiver in Tampa Bay? Here's the problem. We don't know which guy is the number 2 wide receiver in Tampa Bay. Is it Justin Watson? Is it Breshad Perriman? Is it Scotty Miller? Who knows? None of us really know for sure. So, Bucs wide receiver.
Breshad Perriman.
See? There you go.
Would be my guy.
So, Perriman will be my guy as well. Watson is their rookie out of Penn. Scotty Miller, was Scotty Miller drafted last year? Scotty Miller was drafted last year, I believe. Any event, there are very few certainties with this Bucs wide receiver group besides Chris Godwin. But if you want to throw a dart, this would be the ultimate dart throw, and both of us would say, hey, give it a shot on Breshad Perriman. If he's unavailable, which is unlikely, he's probably available in your league. But, or if you want to sort of go against the grain, Justin Watson, also a reasonable play. He had a couple of touchdowns last week, and the Lions, as we've just been talking about, struggling both on offense and on defense.
What's it called? It's not a revenge game, but Breshad Perriman's father played for the Lions.
Yes, he did for the Lions. It's Brett Perriman.
So what is that? What was this called? Like a home? It's not really a homecoming, but it's like a, you know,
it's a narrative.
It's a narrative.
A narrative that can be brought up in the broadcast.
Yeah,
trying to think of other the storyline,
father sons, where we've seen this recently. I did. So obviously, Cam Jordan's father was a very, very good player for the Vikings.
Yep.
And they didn't play. He just, I guess Cam just attended his father's, induction into the Ring of Honor in Minnesota. There's gotta be an example recently where this happened. Like when Larry Nance went back to play the Cavs before he was traded to the Cavs. I don't know. I'm sure there's an example of this somewhere, but good point, Daniel. Breshad Perriman, do it for dad.
Yeah, that's
right.
Go
back to Detroit and catch touchdowns.
Cam Hayward. Like there've been quite a few.
Yeah.
Now they may not play the same position.
Right.
That might be where some of the difference lies, is that, you know, how did their father do at the same position?
But. Okay. Before we say goodbye, great show in the books as well. Before we say goodbye though, What do you want to say?
I was just going to say Cameron Wolf just tweeted this really 3 seconds ago, does a great job for us covering the Dolphins. Devontae Parker, Albert Wilson practicing today. They shedded their non-contact red jerseys, meaning they progressed a step in the protocol. They're still in the protocol, but this is a good sign for Sunday. Still time for them to clear it. Just as long as we're in YOLO territory. Dolphins, a Dolphins wide receiver.
Isaiah
Look at Devontae
Ford.
Parker, Isaiah Ford, I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Right, you know, and so whatever. You've got Allen Hurns there. You've got Albert Wilson. You've got Devontae Parker. They're all banged up in some form or fashion. So could you see Isaiah Ford have a big game? You certainly could. But this is good news for those of for people that have Devontae Parker. Certainly, you like him against the Giants.
Before we say goodbye, you guys who watched the live stream see that during the show, there are all kinds of graphics that are flashed on the screens. They're a combination of stats and projections and whether it's videos embedded from the fantasy show. Well, our graphics producer, her name is Sierra. It's Sierra's birthday today. We want to wish Sierra, our graphics producer, a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
Thank you for what you do to make this show great, Sierra.
Happy birthday!
It would be awesome if you had called your own shot and put together a graphic for your birthday. If it's ready and you want to roll it out there, great. If not, just know that in spirit, we are wishing you a happy birthday, and we are thankful for all that you and everybody behind the scenes do to help make the show fun.
For your birthday, just let us know. I will have Field do whatever you want.
Okay.
Just that's my present. My present is Field.
Okay.
Field, I can have him sing for you. I can have him dance. I can whatever they would like. What do you think?
Duly noted.
Yeah. Just let me know.
Okay.
Just let me know what you want
Sierra.
Field to do.
Remember,
happy birthday, Sierra.
Sunday morning, Fantasy Football Now, ESPN2, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2.
We are on the deuce this week, yes.
Back on the deuce.
All 3 hours.
Fantasy Show is out on ESPN+. All kind of content all over the interwebs.
Yep. My Love Hate is out. You'll see injury updates from Stefania in the app throughout the weekend. Follow you on Twitter. Ask Field Yates. What are you going
to
say?
I don't have any content to push. So just hang out with
at
us.
The moment, right? You don't. I mean,
nothing right now. I have nothing to push.
So anyway, well, here's whatever it is. If Field has something to push, it'll be available on his social channels.
There you go.
Which are at Field Yates on the Twitter and the Gram. She's at StefaniaB87 on the Gram and at Stefania_ESPN on Twitter. If you'd like to see me and Stefania fight with lightsabers, you can do that on either one of our Instagrams. Daniel's at something to break on Instagram and at Daniel Dopp on Twitter. Kyle is at Kyle Soppy ESPN on Twitter. Keith is at Keith Lipscomb on Twitter. And I am at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, including TikTok now, except the Fantasy Life app. On the Fantasy Life app.
On TikTok.
I don't know. I check every once in a while. I gotta make Kyle just like run my TikTok account or something. Anyway, I asked my kids to do it. I have a 15-year-old, and I asked my 15-year-old, I said, will you run my TikTok account?
No, I'm too embarrassed for you.
He was like, no. He was just like, no. By the way, shout out to my kid, by the way. I just want to say this, real talk. My 15-year-old plays for his freshman high school team.
Yes. Okay. Connor.
Connor.
I saw.
Yep.
So, I know what you're about to say because I saw it.
Right? So Connor, we had his football banquet. There was the football banquet last night. And at the football banquet, so Connor's high school football team went 9-0.
Nice.
9-0 this season. They outscored their opponents by an average of 28-3.
Should take him in fantasy.
And Connor was named MVP of the team.
Yes, he was.
So that's,
you know what?
Anyway, so proud of my kid. Proud of my kid.
Way to go, Connor.
Way to go, Connor. Congratulations to you and the entire squad on a successful season. We are back on Monday to recap all of the action from the weekend ahead. Good luck!
Cheshire High School football rules. Peace out.
Twitter says he loves college hoops and talking tribe. Like Shefty and Secret Squirrel, he's a two-phone guy. If you're looking to start a bowling league, he already has a team.